Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, hallelujah, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Now that the steaming pile of crap known as Blog Talk Radio has decided to work for once in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be able to possibly bring you at least 15 more minutes of a 2-hour show. We're getting a little fed up with this, quite frankly, folks. And the good people at Blog Talk Radio could not care less. You would have a better chance of contacting the White House and getting a reply than you do from Blog Talk Radio. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, welcome once again to another edition, a belated edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York for how much longer, I really don't know. And for the next, hour or however Blog Talk decides to give us before shutting us down, we'll be bringing you some news on the world of professional wrestling and especially on the pile of crap known as Monday Night Raw. If I don't sound like I'm in a good mood, I'm not. Because if this isn't enough crap to deal with, we have to deal with a professional wrestling federation who has forgotten how to be one. And make no mistake, they've forgotten how to be one. I've given this many, many, many chances. And while I have been a critic of them, I've also been an apologist for them. And I've said, well, let's see what happens when this goes down, or let's see what happens. Folks, there's no point in waiting. They don't know how to build characters anymore. That's it. They don't feel they need to. They feel the new school of professional wrestling is not character-oriented, and that's all there is to it. And before we get to Raw, I want to invite everyone listening to the sound of my voice to go on YouTube and find the Damian Sandow, real name, of course, Aaron Stevens, Damian Sandow interview that was recently done. Because in that interview, Aaron Stevens, better perhaps than I've done in a year, cuts right to the bone and tells you what's wrong with WWE. Now, he in no way critiques WWE. He says, thanks for the paycheck, loved my time there, loved the fans. But he also says something that's very telling. When he was asked about his losses, when he was asked about taking the Sandow character away, making him Ms. Dow, making him Davy Crockett, making him an astronaut, they ask him, did you not see the writing on the wall? Did you not see you weren't winning any matches, the Money in the Bank briefcase deal? And he said two things, which I think tell you all you need to know about the WWE. Number one, he said, when I won the briefcase, they told me I was winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. They gave me no promises, nor did they have any idea where they were going with it. Let that sink in for a minute. You have a professional wrestling organization that puts the Money in the Bank briefcase in a man's hand, and they have no idea where they're going with it. They didn't tell him this is going to happen down the road, and then this is going to happen, and then you're going to lose it. They just said, well, we don't know. We have no idea. For now, you got it. We'll figure out what's going to go on later. And the second thing he said, which is amazing, is he said, no matter how much I lost, no matter what stupid character they gave me, it didn't really matter to me. Because my job was to go out there and play that character to the best of my ability, and whether I won or I lost, to entertain the people who spent their money. So, unlike some of the other wrestlers, he said he didn't bug Vince McMahon and say, should I do this? Can I do that? How about this? What's going on with me? He said, I just went out there and I said, okay, you're going to give me Davy Crockett to play? I'm going to be the funniest, best Davy Crockett I can be. I'll try to entertain the fans. If I can make them laugh, if I can make them clap, if I can make them boo, whatever it happens to be, at least they're enjoying themselves. I don't care if I won the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't care that I lost it. It doesn't matter. And the reason this does not matter to Aaron Stevens, a.k.a. Damian Sandow, is because he understands one thing that wrestlers and wrestling has forgotten. And perhaps you're going to find this wrong or controversial, but I don't. Wrestling is an acting job that requires some athletics. It is not a job for an athlete that requires a little acting. In other words, actor first, athlete second. And when you can approach things like Damian Sandow said in this interview, he approached them. That's why he was so popular. That's why he got over as a heel when they wanted him to be a heel. Damian Sandow understands very well that the wrestling business is about building a character, layers of a character, and allowing the fans to understand that character, anticipate what that character may do or may say or how they may react, and to entertain the fans, not to go out there and just show your athletic prowess at all times. Of course it's great. The better the athlete you are, the better your performance you're going to put on. But at the end of the day, it's a movie role. It's an acting job. Here is Aaron Stevens. This is your character. Damian Sandow, intellectual savior of the masses. This is what you do. This is how you dress. Create him. Make yourself him. Oh, and throw in some cool wrestling moves and, you know, keep yourself in shape and be able to do the dance. It's forgotten now. It's just all forgotten. It's all about the dance and nothing about characterization at all. It does not matter. Mike, this is one of the most telling things. I hope you get to see the interview. It's a 45-minute interview in which Aaron Stevens totally blows the whole thing up in the faces of the people who think this is all about serious competition. And he does it in a very friendly manner and in a manner that is not degradation of professional wrestling at all. He just is saying they've forgotten the characters, and this is why it's not popular anymore. They've forgotten that you have to like or hate people, and the athletes have forgotten I have to be a character. They think they can just be themselves. They think they can just go out there and say, well, I'm a good athlete, and that's who I am, and I keep myself in shape, and that's good enough. And Mike, it's not.
Well, it's not, and that's the thing. And look, you know, he sounds like he subscribed to the Scott Hall, you know, method. Give me what you want me to do, I'll go do it, just pay me. You know, that's what this sounds like. And look, I'm going to have to go, like you said, I'm going to have to go and look at that interview. But if that interview is true, there is a reason that throughout the hokiness of what AEW has done, there is a reason why people still have hope for AEW. And that interview states it. Would state it, you know?
You know, I hope so. I hope they're not going to go the other way, Mike. I just got this weird feeling they are. I got the feeling AEW is going to turn into we can just be ourselves and because we're great athletes. We can just go impress you with our skill. Don't worry about playing a character. But anyway, let's get to Raw because there's so much to get to, and we've already been cheated out of some time here, haven't we? Raw starts with Triple H and Stephanie coming down and saying, in a nutshell, they need to talk to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch comes out, and what ensues? It just blew my mind. It blew my mind. Number one, Becky Lynch comes out, and they tell her, look, Becky, it turns out you went and saw the doctor. It turns out you were hurt, but it's not a debilitating injury. So, Triple H says, I'm here to apologize for all the things I said last week. Obviously, they're not true. Obviously, you were hurt. It's nothing that's going to keep you out of WrestleMania. So you have your match back. Provided that you do what I just did and apologize. Now, why is this stupid? I'll tell you why this is stupid. This is stupid because this is the equivalent of a 9-year-old talking to her parents saying, but I want to go to the party on Saturday. Well, you didn't clean your room, so if you apologize, maybe you can go. I don't want to apologize. I don't want to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong. This is awful. How does this help Becky Lynch in any way, shape, or form? Look like a petulant little girl who says, I refuse to apologize. Nah, nah, nah. That doesn't help. How does that help? If you really wanted to come down on this the right way, Becky Lynch should have offered the apology. When Triple H said, I'm sorry, she should have said, well, look, I'm sorry too. Things got out of hand. But you got to understand how passionate I am about getting my hands on Ronda Rousey and getting my hands on that belt. And if anybody tries to take it from me for any reason, I'm not going to be responsible for what I do. I'm sorry it led to this, but I'm not going to tell you I wouldn't do it again if somebody tried to take it away from me. That's all she had to do. No, the whole show is built on, will Becky Lynch apologize? To which she goes backstage and she's confronted by Ronda Rousey, confronted by Alexa Bliss, and she's confronted by Finn Balor, and Finn Balor's the worst. Finn Balor's the absolute worst. Finn Balor says, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to win the belt. Nobody asked him he's going to win the belt. Nobody asked you what you're going to do with Bobby Lashley. Jesus Christ. I'm going to pick my time, and I'm going to beat Bobby Lashley for the belt. Well, that's sensational, but that's not what Becky Lynch asked you, is it? This was awful. I'm sitting here, and I feel so badly for Becky Lynch because I'm saying this is undermining her character terribly, and now she's put in this bad situation. Number one, she looks like a petulant little girl. But now if she apologizes, she looks like a sellout. If she doesn't apologize, she looks like she doesn't care about her fans. There's no winning from this. No winning. And now we're right back to the authority thing. If you don't do this, you don't get that. Wait a minute. I thought they were standing in the ring like four sad sacks about a month and a half ago saying there's going to be no more authority stuff. We've learned our lesson. From now on, you fans are the authority. Boy, that lasted a long time, didn't it? Todd, this was a positively awful segment, and it did not help Becky Lynch in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's one of the worst segments I ever seen in a long time. I remember back then, back in the Attitude Era, they tried to do the same thing with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You didn't see him apologize to Vince or other authority figures. He did it anyway to get revenge on them.
I mean, look, if you wanted to make it a wow factor thing where at the end she says, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry your family's such a pathetic bunch of control freaks that you have to run this show like a army. You know, whatever. But just, God, it was just terrible. So, look, there's not much more you can say about it, Mike. It didn't help anybody involved.
Right. Yeah, it didn't help anybody involved. Look, you know, Todd's exactly right on this. What they should have had happen is she should have came out there and flat out said, look, over the last week or so, I went back to the network and taken a look at Stone Cold Steve Austin and what has happened with him and Vince McMahon. And as I'm taking a look at this, he never apologized for anything. So why should I have to? If I'm the new Stone Cold, if I'm the female Stone Cold, like the fans are saying I am, I shouldn't have to apologize, and I'm not going to apologize. Then, and we'll get to this, but we can get to this now, then that would have made what happened at the end when Vince McMahon comes out with Charlotte Flair logical. As it stands right now.
I mean, look, it would have been even better. For me, it would have been even better if she said, look, I'm sorry that you guys are all liars that nobody can trust. Did you not stand in this ring a month and a half ago and tell the fans they're the new authority, and now you're coming down on everybody asking for apologies and trying to pull crapola on them? Do you think these fans can't see what you're trying to do? That would have been a hell of a lot better. But no, they have to make her look like the little girl who did something wrong. Oh, I'm sorry that you were left home alone for a half hour, but you better say you're sorry for breaking all the dishes. No, I won't. Oh, God, it was just terrible. I mean, you can't get worse than this. Whoever wrote this should be fired. They should be fired on the spot. We then get to Bayley and Sasha versus Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. And, of course, versus Nia Jax and Tamina. And the rules to this three-person or three-team match is this. The loser has to enter the Elimination Chamber first. Now, please, can you answer me a question? If the rules are that the loser has to enter the Elimination Chamber first, who in their right mind is tagging in? Who wants in? we're not going to talk about SmackDown today, but if you go over to SmackDown, the Iconics played it the right way. Why would you want in? You have nothing to gain by winning. You only have something to lose by losing. Terrible idea. Once again, they play up the Sasha can't wrestle. I don't know why she comes out if she's so delicate. I don't understand, but whatever. They're playing this up because obviously something's going to happen in the Elimination Chamber. There's one of two things that's going to happen. Either they're going to win the whole thing, and Sasha's going to be the big hero who came back from her injury to help the team win, or Sasha and Bayley are turning on each other. One of the two. At this stage, I'm not even thrilled about either one. I don't care. Because they played this so ridiculously and so poorly that I really don't care. What I do know is the rules of this match make no sense. It would have been one thing if it was only two teams. Because then what choice do you have? You have to be in there. Someone from your team has to be in there. But when it's an anyone can tag anyone match, and the loser is punished, why would you be in the ring? I would refuse to make the tag. Can't lose if you're not in it. This was really an asinine stipulation.
Right, it really was. And you're absolutely correct. The Iconics played it the way we would have played it. You know, why am I gonna get in there when I don't have to? You know? I mean, that was a smart way to play it. That would have been a smart way for both Sasha. It would have been Sasha and Bayley or whomever. It would have been making them look like, not wanting to fight and cowards and stuff. But that would have absolutely made it a logical thing and put them in a good position to do whatever they're going to do with them, you know. But
absolutely. So Bayley ends up losing, so they got to go in first. Now, Derek in the chat room saying it should have been the winner gets to go in last. Yeah, that would have been better. At least it would have made sense. It would have left people saying, why do the Raw women get that opportunity and not the SmackDown women? But still, it would have been better. It still would have been better. So there's a bad stipulation. Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre leads to a disqualification because, of course, Finn Balor is destroying Drew McIntyre. He's about ready to pin him. He hits him with his finisher. It's over. They have to make it look like, there's no doubt about it, Finn Balor won. I guess Finn Balor's the toughest guy in the Federation now. He's it. And if he says one more time, I made Brock Lesnar believe, I'm going to switch the station. Made Brock Lesnar believe what? That you tap out? Anyway, he loses by disqualification. You got Baron Corbin coming down there. And then, of course, the floodgates open and we get Kurt Angle and Bobby Lashley and then the whole crew. And, of course, what does that lead to? Braun Strowman. And then, of course, that leads to, guess what we're having? A six-man tag. Okay, that's not so bad, I guess. But the six-man tag lasts forever. There's a false ending in which basically Bobby Lashley pins Finn Balor, but Finn Balor's foot is on the rope. So a referee comes down. The match is over. Bell is rung. Referee comes down and says, no, his foot was on the ropes, and this referee says, restart the match. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? How long has the Revival been ripped off of every match? Nobody restarted any of those matches. Week after week, we watched the Revival get ripped off, and nobody started any matches over again. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe's match, Samoa Joe got ripped off. Oh, nobody started that match over again. It's only now. Now they'll start the match over again. Again, a ridiculous angle. Nobody started. I thought the referee's decision is final. That's it. He can admit he made a mistake. I'm sorry I made a mistake, but hey, my decision is final. We can't go back on it. Since when did we get into this era now where no, you better hold to that then. There better never be any more angles where, oh, somebody's foot was on the ropes, they didn't see it. Oh, the shoulder was up and you didn't see it. Oh, how about outside interference? There better not ever be any more outside interference ever, because then why can't we just go to the videotape and say, did you clearly see him interfere? Yes, you did. Okay, restart the match. And for what reason? There's no reason. Just go ahead with the goddamn match. And if you want Balor's team to win, let them win. But why did you have to go through these hoops of, no, we're going to restart the match and do all this kind of stuff when you've never done it before? There better not be manager interference. There better not be outside interference or somebody passing brass knuckles or a shoulder up or a foot on the ropes or anything. There better never be any of that anymore on Raw. Because now the standard has been set that no such thing. The referee's decision is not final. You can recall it back. Caller, we lost that caller. Todd, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was kind of stupid. Most matches, they don't restart the matches or anything. Why did they restart that match? The match should have been final.
None of them got restarted. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship did not get restarted, Mike. So how do you justify this?
You can't, and that's the thing. But I would like to believe that they took something from real life and made an angle out of it, and that was what happened in the NFC Championship game, where there was an obvious foul that wasn't called that they didn't call, but it was proven by instant replay to have been seen, but I'm not going to give them that credit because we've chronicled how stupid and how idiotic their writing has been over the past 2 years, you know, maybe even longer than that. So,
look, they didn't do that. Here's what they did. They figured that'll take us through a commercial break. While they're arguing about whether they should restart the match, we can get a commercial break in and we can stretch this pile of crap longer. Never mind that we don't do that for even championship matches, let alone a six-man tag match that doesn't mean anything. And by the way, why is Drew McIntyre in a team with anyone? When he clearly said he only teamed with Dolph Ziggler to get his foot in the door, and he's a loner and he doesn't want to be a part of anything. Well, I don't know. Certainly is. But the worst is probably yet to come. Ruby Riott versus Nikki Cross. Ruby Riott is going to face Ronda Rousey for the Women's Championship in the Elimination Chamber. So you got to give her a victory to prove, oh, she may be able to beat Ronda Rousey. Even Ronda Rousey doesn't think so. Ronda Rousey's backstage saying, our match is so important, Becky, that you better go out there and apologize. Our match is so important. She doesn't say, if I have the belt. She doesn't say, well, I got to get by Ruby Riott, but if I do get by Ruby Riott, I want you to be the one. No, she just, no, I'll be the champion. No fear. And by the way, Charlotte Flair is obviously in the arena, meaning that they all think she's going to be the champion too. This is awful. And by the way, what did Ruby Riott do to earn a title shot? Nothing. So what do they do? Well, we got to make the fans believe Ruby Riott might be able to beat Ronda Rousey, so we got to give her a big victory. So let's wheel out Nikki Cross, because, of course, let's ruin her big push. Let's ruin that. No, we can't use Dana. No, we can't use fill-in-the-blanks Natty. We can't use anybody. It's got to be Nikki. Nikki's got to lose. Why? Why would you waste a talent like Nikki Cross that everybody is into? Why would you do that? And no one in their right mind thinks Ruby Riott has any shot at all of beating Ronda Rousey, even obviously the WWE, who keep promoting this is going to be a WrestleMania match. Nobody thinks she's winning. They're not even considering it. With one breath, they're saying she might not be the champion. And the next breath, they're saying, can't wait for WrestleMania when Ronda Rousey will. This is ridiculous. This is just lazy. We don't care. I can't stress it enough, folks. They don't care. The WWE do not care. What they presented to you for a go-home show was garbage. Absolute 100% garbage. Illogical, poorly booked, stupid, boring. I don't know what other adjectives to use. I'm actually sitting there in my chair, seething mad. Seething mad. So, and Seth Rollins, well, let's talk about that first. Nikki Cross, Mike, don't look like they got much plans for her.
No, and like I said, like we've been saying for a while, she should not be on Raw at all. She should be with Sanity. That's where she should
be.
You know, that's where she should be.
Agree.
You're wasting.
100% agree with you, but maybe they will, Mike. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to bring her to SmackDown, so it don't matter that she lost on Raw. But I still say it matters. Because now we've seen her beaten. You know, if Lars Sullivan made his big debut, he's not getting beat second week out by, a mid-carder. He's just not. And you can't treat the women that way either. Nikki Cross should still be undefeated. If you wanted to have her lose that tag team match with Alicia Fox and having Fox pinned, that's fine. But Nikki Cross herself should still be undefeated. Instead, no, she's not undefeated. So she's not that big menace that everybody said, oh, this is going to be good. No, it's not going to be good. It's going to be garbage. Seth Rollins comes out, gives his, I'm hurt. But if it's the last, I mean, listen. I love Seth Rollins as a wrestler. Whoever wrote this speech, please. You want to talk about overdramatic? If it's the last thing I ever do in my life, if it's my last match as a professional athlete, if I'm walking down that dark, lonely road to retirement, if the angels come and call for me, I will beat Brock Lesnar. Just shoot me. At this point, I'm saying just shoot me. If I didn't have to watch one more second of this show, I wouldn't have. Because now I'm not even rooting for Seth Rollins because I'm like, well, this is garbage. How come Seth Rollins can't just come out there like himself and say, look, yeah, he came out there and F5'd me 6 freaking times. I'm still here. This whole myth about Brock Lesnar will destroy people. He didn't destroy me. He beat me up. You think that's the only time in my life I've ever been beat up? And here I am. Come do it again if you can. That's all he had to say. No, if I never live to take another breath in my life, if I have to crawl across the hot deserts, I'll forget it. Ridiculous. And then Paul Heyman comes out and has to look worried. First he says, you have no chance against my client, and I want you to know this. And then he does the whole Spartacus moment. Paul Heyman's, oh, my God, we have a different form of athlete here. He does not care about his own safety. This could be bad for my client. And then Dean Ambrose's music hits. And according to everything that I'm being told, Dean Ambrose was supposed to come out and do a rather long speech that involved Roman Reigns, his illness, why he did what he did, and he was supposed to end it with, the only last thing I got to say to you is, slay the beast. Ambrose apparently told the people, I ain't doing it, which maybe means he is leaving, I don't know. But he totally supposedly went off script and just went out and said, slay the beast. And then he gets in the ring with EC3. Now, I want you people to understand one thing. If Dean Ambrose is leaving, there is absolutely nothing that Vince McMahon would rather do than to make him look horrible upon his departure, which means he would lose every match. He would not be featured on main event television. There is no reason to promote a man and give a man TV time who is not going to be there. You've got people in the back getting no TV time, and they are there and intend to stay there. But then, if you want to add insult to injury, EC3 just arrived. We're told these are the new faces. Heavy Machinery, where were they? Whatever the girl's name is, I forgot already because she's gone, apparently. Laura Sullivan, that was a joke. EC3. Okay, EC3. EC3 comes out and gets his ass beat by Dean Ambrose. Clean. Clean! If Dean Ambrose is on his way out the door and EC3 is your future, could someone please explain to me that booking? We are letting Dean Ambrose win because fill in the blank. We're making EC3 lose because fill in the blank. There's no logical reason. So now it's one of two things. Either this is the world's biggest work and Dean Ambrose is going nowhere, maybe a short vacation, or the WWE simply lost their mind. They've simply lost their mind. When EC3 got beaten clean, my first reaction is Dean Ambrose isn't going anywhere. Or if he is, it's going to be for a short time and he'll be back. After I found out he went off script and did that stuff, I said, well, maybe he don't care. Maybe he is thinking about retiring and he's just going to go away for a little while and reconsider whether he wants a career in professional wrestling. But either way, if the man comes to you and says, I may take up to a year off, I'm bored with professional wrestling, I don't want to do it right now, you don't have him go out there and beat one of your guys that you've announced as the future of this company, Mike, because if you do that, you've already undermined EC3.
Right. You've already undermined him. And look, generally when somebody goes off script, McMahon, we hear rumors of McMahon going ballistic. Just ballistic. You know? I mean, we saw what he did when Titus O'Neil just put his arm on him. You know? I mean, and he didn't do that. We haven't heard any rumors about McMahon. Now, I don't think Triple H would care. I don't know about Stephanie. You know? I don't think they would care, but Vince McMahon would care if this wasn't a work. If this was just Dean Ambrose, you know, you've got to go do this long speech and then say Slay the Beast, you know. Well, Dean Ambrose says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to say Slay the Beast and go in there and do my match. Fine. And, you know, and Vince McMahon might very well, but we haven't heard rumors of him flying off the handle, being pissed off about what he did. So this is another in a long line of tells that this is looking more like a work than.
Well, let's look at it this way. If a man comes to you, you own a wrestling federation, and says, my contract is up in a couple of months and I'm not re-signing in any way, shape, or form. You can't offer me enough money. There's nothing you can say. I'm just not re-signing. You have a couple of options. You can say, okay, well, then since you've made up your mind, you may as well leave now. You can't wrestle for anybody else until your contract is up. But we may as well just let you go. You've been a good employee. You've done everything we ask you. Just go ahead. We don't have any major plans for you. Just go ahead. Or you can say, well, we're not releasing you until the end of your contract because we do have plans for you. But now that you've said you're not re-signing, we're going to have to rewrite those plans because there's no point in putting you in anything major if you're leaving, because all that's doing is giving you free publicity for the place you may end up going. It doesn't make any sense. Did they do that with Neville? Did they do that with Jack Swagger? Did they do that with CM Punk? Did they do that with anybody? No, they didn't. You don't feature a guy who's leaving. And the reason you don't feature a guy who's leaving is because it's a free advertisement for the place that's getting him. So if Ambrose came and said, I'm not going to any other federation, which is my theory, is that he said, keep paying me. I'll sign a contract of I'm not going anywhere and you pay me a certain amount of money. And if I decide within that 6 month or year time or however long I want to wrestle again, it'll be for you, which is likely what happened here. You're still not going to use him that way. Then you'd find this dramatic angle. How do we get Ambrose hurt? How do we get Ambrose that, oh my God, well, here's what you would do. You'd have EC3 be the biggest villain in the world. and he would be the man that put out Dean Ambrose. And you'd say, wow, that guy came in with a bang. He took Dean Ambrose out. Wouldn't you do that? No? You'd let him beat your guy. You'd let him beat the guy who just came in, had one solo match, beat Dean Ambrose, barely, and now he's lost. So EC3's had two matches on TV and lost one of them. To the same guy. That's the way you promote a character? Does Brock Lesnar come on and lose 5, 6, 8 times to every 5, 6, or 8 that he wins? No. It doesn't make any sense. EC3 is going to be a nobody here. And when I say a nobody, let me clarify. I don't mean he's not going to get the belt. He might get the belt. But nobody's going to care because now you've already seen him beaten. You've already seen him lose. You've already seen he's very beatable. You've already seen he's no better than anybody else. Everybody's just equal. We're all one big happy family. It's like the, for God's sake, it's like a socialist wrestling federation. No, nobody can be better than anybody else, ever. Everybody's got to be exactly the same, unless your name is Brock Lesnar. Then you can win every time. Unless your name is Ronda Rousey, then you can win every time. But if you're just a schlub wrestler who's never been in MMA, then you're no better than nobody. There is no way in God's green earth. I don't know how I can convince you people, but there's no way in God's green earth that WWE is stupid enough to let a guy who's already told you my ass is out the door beat a guy that you have been promoting for months as coming soon and he's going to be our future. Why would you do that? And the payoff would be what to you? Todd, it makes absolutely no sense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it doesn't make sense for any of this, actually. You know, if you're Brock Lesnar, oh, well, you're going to lose to him. If you're Ronda Rousey, you're going to lose to her. But you wouldn't, you beat anybody else, but you're not going to lose to those two people. Because they're bigger names, supposedly.
Yeah, and, you know, Derek's saying, look, they do a lot of stupid things, and I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt that this just wasn't another stupid one. No, nobody's this stupid. No, even the WWE isn't this stupid. If you think the world of EC3, and you say, we're bringing them in, we're bringing in new faces, and here's their top face. This is the top one, by the way. Out of all the people you listed, maybe Lars Sullivan, but he blew it. So out of all those other people that you listed, the top one is EC3. He's well known. He was a champion of another federation. He's been in NXT. He was your guy before he was an Impact guy. This was your big guy. This is your big acquisition. Coming to Raw is EC3. Oh, and he got beat by Dean Ambrose, who, by the way, ain't going to be around for much longer. That there's no way Vince McMahon is that stupid. There is no way. No possible way. And this is the thing that everyone on every other show is overlooking. They're saying, oh, Dean Ambrose went off script. That means he's definitely leaving. But nobody is saying, wait a minute, he'd be EC3. Can you imagine Becky Lynch walked in and said, I'm leaving this company when my contract is up in 2 months, and there's nothing you can say to stop me. I'm gone. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm not taking any amount of money. I've already made up my mind. It's over. By the way, can you let me beat Ronda on my way out the door? They'd be like, you're not only not beating Ronda, you're going to tap out in 15 seconds like a bitch. So why isn't Ambrose tapping out in 15 seconds like a bitch if he's leaving? He's not going to do the company any good anymore. So why do you care to promote him as tougher than a guy who's staying? Why do you care to do that? What are you going to get out of it? How's that? Haven't you ever heard of putting somebody over on your way out? Dean Ambrose couldn't put EC3 over on his way out? He was told not to put EC3 over on his way out? Why? And I don't mean just put him over, like, well, he could still put him over. He'll lose to him again. Okay, he'll lose to him again. But EC3 has already lost a match, and that should not be the case. Anyway, let's get to the revival. Apparently, if you're in the WWE and you aren't happy, all you have to do is say, I'm leaving or I want to leave, and you can be the EC3. You can be the tag team champions. Maybe you can be the women's champion. Maybe you can be the Intercontinental or U.S. champion. I don't know. I guess you can be anything you want to be. Just don't leave. Maybe they're trying to kiss Dean Ambrose's ass, too, and say, look, we'll let you be DC3. We really think the world of you. Don't leave. Please don't leave. Vince McMahon has went on record now saying, I don't like the optics of people wanting to leave. Well, Vince, here's a newsflash for you. I don't like the optics of you getting on your hands and knees and putting your nose straight up their assholes to get them to stay. It makes you look like you're desperate. The Revival want to leave? Tell them to leave. Go. We're not making you the champions just because you think you deserve it. Well, is this the society we live in now? I guess it is. I guess this is it. This is what it's come to now. Okay, well then, I'm 6'2". I'm a 6'2" Irish guy. I demand to be in the NBA. I demand it. I'm going right now to the New York Knicks, and if you do not sign me, then obviously you're racist. Obviously you're against Irish people. Obviously you're unfair. I guess this is the world we live in. So that's fine. So the Revival go and go, oh, we don't like the way we're being used. We want to leave. And Vince McMahon says, okay, you can be the champions. Give me a couple of weeks and I'll work you in as a champions. Dean Ambrose says, I don't know. I might want to take some time off. And I'm not re-signing that contract. Okay, we'll let you be EC3, our top guy. Please, just don't go to another federation. Is this what the WWE's become? They wouldn't be going to another federation to begin with if you used them halfway decent. If you understood them, look at EC3. Maybe he wants his way out the door too now because he sees the writing on the wall. I've already lost. I'm not going to be a big deal here. Nikki Cross comes over. She's already lost. She's not going to be a big deal here. Heavy Machinery's already lost. They're not going to be a big deal here. And it doesn't matter whether you give them the belts. The big deal is that they don't lose very much. The Undertaker didn't lose very much. Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't lose very much. The Rock didn't lose very much. The Ultimate Warrior didn't lose very much. Hulk Hogan didn't lose very much. That's why it was important. They didn't go 50-50 with the whole goddamn federation. God, can't you see that? You're not building any stars. You're tearing them down. Except for Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey, who care about as much about wrestling as I don't know who. And I don't give a damn how many times Ronda Rousey says, I love wrestling. I've been a wrestling fan my life. Go to hell. And a big old square-headed, pie-faced Brock Lesnar. Go to hell. Just leave. And leave wrestling to the wrestlers. How about that? Nobody's going over to the UFC saying, well, you got to let me win. CM Punk didn't go over to, I don't like CM Punk, but didn't go over to UFC and say, well, you got to rig it. You got to rig it because I'm a big star. I'm not losing to somebody. I know that's not what you do here in MMA, but you got to make an exception for me because I'm a big star. He didn't do that. So why should Ronda Rousey come over and say, you better put in my contract, I'm not tapping out or losing, and that's in her contract. Now, the WWE figured out that contract got leaked. So Ronda Rousey's not leaving at WrestleMania. She's leaving at Backlash. From what I hear, it's supposed to go Becky Lynch wins the belt at WrestleMania from Charlotte Flair. That's why she was added. So you don't have to have Ronda tap or lose or get pinned. And then Ronda one-on-one with Becky Lynch at Backlash, where Ronda will indeed lose, finally lose and move on. And they probably had to give her a shit ton of money to do that. If you don't want to come in and play by the same rules as everybody else, stay out. It's the easiest way to put it, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like that, and like you said.
I think we lost Todd, so let's go over to Mike. Mike, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm hearing, so.
That's what I'm hearing, too, and that's what I'm seeing around the internet as well. You know, you look at it, you know.
Suddenly, I'm not getting any phone call. I don't know what the hell happened. Let's try it again. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All righty. Well, anyway, let me just finish up by
can
saying
you
the
hear
following.
Me?
Raw was a mess. An absolute unmitigated disaster. For a regular show, it was an F. For a go-home show, it was inexcusable, embarrassing, humiliating, and ridiculous. There was no redeeming value to this show at all. No one cares about anyone anymore. We don't care about Baron Corbin. We don't care about Braun Strowman. I don't even want to get into the Elias thing. You got to make Elias a heel, so what do you got to do? Well, let's have him go out and hit Kalisto with a guitar. Well, that's not going to do it because nobody cares about Kalisto. That's the problem. So they're still going to cheer for Elias. You don't have anybody that Elias can hit with a guitar that people will say, well, now I am booing him. That's bullshit. You don't have one. And yes, I promised I'd talk a little bit about the Kevin Owens thing. That Kevin Owens promo is a face promo. And they did it right after two, three, 4 weeks ago, he cut a heel promo. So they've made a decision that Kevin Owens obviously coming back as a face. I don't know about Sami Callihan. Or Sami Zayn, but Kevin Owens coming back as a face. Suddenly I'm a family man, I'm bowling with my kids, I'm Mr. Blue Collar, nice guy. Gotcha. Try to phone one more time and see if it's working. Todd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, we can't hear anybody on the phones. Boy, Blog Talk, I got to tell you, they're a great organization. If you try to reach them, they say, don't call us, there's nobody here, don't call us. No, there's no point in calling. Write us. You write them, they don't answer you back. You get on the chat room with them and they say, we're working on the problem, we'll fix it. Which is equivalent of, you can go fuck yourself. So I don't know what to tell you. Derek in the chat room saying, what about Asuka? I don't know what about Asuka. I don't know who the hell Asuka is going to fight at WrestleMania, and quite frankly, I don't care. She's not even in the Elimination Chamber, and she's a women's champion, so whatever. Whatever. I suppose it'll probably end up being, I don't even know who. Maybe Nia Jax. I don't know how they're going to work this. And by the way, yes, I've been asked, so yes, the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships will be on both shows. The champions get to go back and forth, yes. Anyway, folks, I'm sorry that I can't take the phone calls and give the opinions of the panel. Suddenly that's been shut off, but I'm giving this an F. If I could give it lower than an F, I would give it lower than an F. It's one of the worst Monday Night Raws I have seen in a very, very, very long time. And man, I'll tell you, in an era where there's a lot of bad Monday Night Raws, that's really saying something. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow with more Wrestle Chat Radio, hopefully.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.